Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mark James, Andy Hart. It's James and Hart getting you through your Saturday on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Oh, God. Here we go.
One if I land, two if I see.
Saturday, 11 to 3. If we have an old saying up in Maine, Andy,
you can
be
say
ready.
It. You can do it.
The ball doesn't lie.
Yo, shout out to Charles Manson. You know he has two masters, and he still said that.
Yes. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
He might be the best
on-air personality here.
I'm sensitive. I'm sensitive.
Okay, there's no place we'd rather be in a beautiful, sunny day than inside an air-conditioned studio with you. There's no place we'd rather be.
But moving on.
We got to move on now. All right, here we go. Hour number three, Mark and Hart here with you on WEI 617-779-7937. Everyone wants to talk about, we play the hits. You want to talk about the Atlanta Roberts situation in case you're just joining us. We had a great producer, Joe. Let's see if Nick can do as good as Joe did the last 2 hours.
Wow, calling you out.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Hey, let's hear for the people tuning in for the first time as the audience turns over every 5 to 6 minutes in radio. Let's hear the audio of the Landon Roberts stop in his driveway down in Texas, which, by the way, happened in March, and now he's filing a harassment inquiry in July. Here we go.
I'm not going to be here right now.
What am I going to do?
That's Michael Bennett. That is not, stop that. That is not a Landon Roberts. All right. We'll get to that. Already 0 for 1.
I'm
sorry.
I'm trying to get out of my chair.
By the way, that's, kill it. Stop it. It's that, no, we want the Landon Roberts stop, not Michael Bennett. Oh, that was on Joe then. Okay. Well, then Joe messed up. Yeah. Okay. The probably the other one is a Landon Roberts. That was Michael Bennett. All right, we'll get to that. In the meantime, we'll get to your phone calls. All right, you got it. Go ahead.
Pecan Branch Drive, 1500. First time.
Get back in the car. Get back in the car.
Get in the car right now.
Shut the door. Put the hands on the steering wheel and roll down the window. Do it now.
I haven't even begun the traffic stop. He got the big black male. He got out of the car. I told him to get back in. He wouldn't comply. I had to yell at him pretty hard.
Be free to go. Thank you.
All right, so there it was. Now, I will tell you that you got to watch the video, unlike the lawyer who called in about 20 minutes ago, Andy.
Especially in this day and age.
The lawyer didn't watch the video.
But he has a phone. Like, in all likelihood, he was calling from the tool with which he could have watched the video.
Yeah.
Watch the video, then call us.
Yeah, he was on hold for a little bit, but he could have watched the video and said, like, did you watch the video? No, it's like, oh.
Come on. You're a lawyer. I'm not hiring. You served me, but I'm not paying you.
Yeah. I mean, we should bill you.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, dude. You gotta, like, this is the evidence. This is what it, so we both agree. All right. I'm more, now I can, you know, you're describing what the gentleman looks like. It's big black man. At first, it sounds, there's some racial undertones there. I've actually gotten over it. The issue I have with when he says, I told him to get back in, he wouldn't comply. I had to yell at him pretty hard to comply. Listen, he complied.
Within seconds.
With it, exactly. Textbook pedestrian following the law. He complied perfectly. Now, after allegedly speeding 24 miles an hour of the speed limit, after that point, when he got in his driveway, he completely did everything right. He did nothing wrong. Landon Roberts.
I would argue his wife may not have done exactly what she should have done. After she comes out and is told to go back in, she goes in the garage. One garage stall in front of Roberts is open. She then, apparently, I'm assuming it was her, opens the second garage stall,
boy.
Which to me
escalates
the situation a little, creates some tension. If I'm the officer, I have no idea what's coming out of that garage stall.
Did you ever see any documentaries on David Koresh and what happened in Waco?
No.
They had a TV show about it on Paramount Network, and it's like, man, when you see something like that and how armed they were, when that garage opens up, you've got to be just like, this could be the last moment of my life. You don't know what's coming out of there.
And again, we don't know for sure at what point the officer realizes this truly is a Landon Roberts home.
Right.
We don't know as he runs the plate, the computers, goes back to the headquarters, whatever, and then he finds out, oh yeah, this is his home. This is, you know, the license plate matches the address. We don't know if he knows that yet, so he could be, you know, I don't want to be, worst case scenario, like you said, it could be a cult, it could be a drug house, it could be the mob, anything could be happening here.
Right. You don't know.
That garage door slowly going up. So it was a tense situation. Thankfully, it ended as well as it could have.
Right.
Now, everybody went away somewhat happy, I guess, and somewhat upset.
Now, the biggest issue is the fact that, you know, they didn't issue a citation. They didn't issue a ticket for going 24 miles over the speed limit. They called to apologize a couple days later. Now, 4 months after the fact, Landon Roberts is filing a harassment inquiry. Obviously, enough people got in his ear, said, you need to do this for the greater good.
Right.
That's what it seems like. He doesn't need, it's not for financial reasons whatsoever. He's not going to be, there's no civil suit here. It's just to show, it wasn't handled close to being perfect. You said this guy was a rookie cop. It is what it is. It could have gotten worse, but when you hear the Michael Bennett situation, that was really a emotionally charged situation where there's an active shooter in the casino, and Michael Bennett's weaving it. And so the officers there in Vegas are saying, is this him? Is this him? So I understand that one could have been real. And they let Michael Bennett go without seeing his license. They Googled him.
Found out who he was, looked it up on the internet, saw a picture. Okay, it's really him.
Like,
move on.
You can go. All right, 617-779-7937. John in Gardner. What's up, John?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having like a thoughtful, calm discussion about this, first of all. Although, Mark, I do have one criticism. You cut Andy off earlier, and I think I would have liked to hear more about the role play between him and his bride. But
that's my only trap. By the way, that's WEEI at After Dark.
That's right.
And that's a new show we're going to be launching
new
soon.
Podcast, yes. The off-day podcast.
EEI After Dark, John.
This is not the worst situation in the world, okay? It's not some of the egregious examples we've seen where people have been harmed, if, you know, or worse. So it's not that. But a couple of things. When you I work for the Department of Corrections. I was a recreation officer, so I've worked with people that aren't cooperative all the time and blah, blah, blah. When you identify, you describe somebody, it's usually because it's somebody that's not in custody, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to give your co-officers a description of somebody that you might be looking for, whereas this situation, the guy was completely under control in his own car and so forth. It did sound a little bit like the officer, and again, I don't think he meant it consciously as a nasty thing, but just to make his case that he needed a backup, that it was a big black male. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
And the wife, again, this is not an example of some of the egregious situations, but I think, I can't tell, but wasn't she, I think she was filming it with her camera.
It appeared to be in the garage stall.
By the way, but John, I'm glad you asked it, because she came out and she said, quote, this is our house.
Right.
And then, and then the officer, let me just give it to you and you can respond. Sure. And the officer says, if you don't get back in the house, you will be arrested. Go back in the house for your safety. And she said, for my safety or my husband's. And then the other garage door opened up. So at that point, if you're, you know, it's her house and I understand the concern over her husband. When that other garage door opened up, I mean, at that point, all bets are off, John. All bets are off.
I hear you, and officers, unfortunately, these days have to be vigilant in the most innocent-appearing circumstances, certainly. But to me, that's a little, I don't know, she went into the lighted side of the garage, she apparently pushed the button or the remote or whatever, and the other side opened up. Sure, for a second, you're like, what's up with that? But then you kind of see, and she's just standing there filming, it seems like to me. But anyway, we talk about implicit, or I think it's more of subconscious. I don't know if those words are synonymous or not, but there is some. I don't think there's a whole bunch of white officers running around saying they want to hurt black people. I think there's some this implicit bias that some of us white folks would be best served to try to understand, that And again, on the officer side of things, in some high crime areas, you don't get a lot of cooperations sometimes from minority folks and minority communities. So you are a little bit.
Well, but let's not stereotype and generalize. Let's not go down that road. I just think cooperate. There are white people, all types. Let's not try to, you know, let's not go there. That's the part where it's like, okay, fair enough. They officers, I'm sure, on a daily basis, get some sort of resistance from all walks of life.
Right. There are white guys that cooperate, white guys that don't. Black guys that cooperate, black guys that don't. Right. Asian guys, men, women, they're... Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
See, he kind of poo-pooed what was the most, for me, to just say, oh, you know, for a second the door opens up and then you move up. Like, hey, you're not sitting there in that car wondering what's behind... Like, we're watching a video months later.
What's behind door number two?
Right.
Right?
So... That was interesting, but I do think there's something to be said for what the caller just said. Like, this isn't the worst example of anything that we've seen.
No.
And
no.
Yet you can still learn from it. It's the earlier caller that said, you know, it's everything that the two sides did was within the margin of error. But there was error. Mm-hmm. So close the margin of error. It's like when there's presidential polling. Oh, the margin of error on this poll was 5.5%. I think they would prefer the margin for error was 3%, correct? So if there's 3% error here, make it 2. Improve the situation. Learn from it. And I get back to the Obama thing. Teachable moment. Used to be a big word. Learn from it. Nobody got hurt, thankfully. No. Nobody got hurt. Yeah. Learn from it.
And for crying out loud, Landon Roberts didn't even get a ticket. Right. Didn't even get a ticket.
He literally got off scot-free.
Literally. Mike in North Providence. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the key things to point out here is that the police department in their apology was not apologizing for pulling him over. And they weren't apologizing for that particular interaction that you replayed, right?
Right.
As far as they're concerned, that's pretty much perfectly fine how that went down. Their apology was for, one, his interaction with the wife, and secondly, for having Robert sit there in the car for 8 minutes and not really telling him anything while he was waiting for backup to show up. So that's what the two things there as far as the apology. They're not apologizing for the officer giving him orders. And for maybe repeating his orders. I mean, there's no gunfire. He didn't tackle him to the ground. And the officer has every right to repeat his order to somebody if he doesn't feel the person's going and doing it.
Right.
And be very clear here, I'm calling out a semantic point. These are orders. Orders are not requests.
That's right.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. This isn't a multiple choice question.
Right.
That's exactly it. You have one option, legal option, to comply with a lawful order.
Right.
And you know, if he feels the need to repeat it, okay. Now he could be nicer about it or whatever. And then another thing, you guys aren't like skating by this at all, but I mean it's just the truth. You know, when they're showing this sort of stuff, it's from the point of the stop on, not the fact of what this officer saw and why he went and pulled them over to begin with, which is him speeding through a residential neighborhood.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is not some innocent who's being harassed. This is a person who broke a law.
Yeah, and by the way, Mike, I think that point needs to be reiterated. This is not Trayvon Martin or Khalif Browder. It's not.
Right.
It's not that where, you know, it's just somebody is being racially profiled and shot. And the worst thing is that the cop or whoever shot them, they get off scot-free. Kind of like the whole Rodney King thing. No, this was, you know, you're speeding 24 miles an hour through a residential subdivision. That's more than a reason enough to get pulled over. I guess why we're talking about this is because A, the video came out through USA Today, and B, now he's filing a harassment inquiry, and that's sort of like this things could have just gone away, but now it becomes a major issue.
Yeah, and I don't really understand the harassment charge.
I don't either.
Like, I don't.
What did they do?
I would like another one of our lawyers maybe can call.
Or,
like,
how
did they harass him?
We have a lot of cops who listen to this station. I would love for a policeman to call up and say, what did he do to harass?
I believe both sides could have handled it slightly better.
Sure.
A little bit better.
Sure.
But harassment, I'm not really sure where that word comes into play, where that act comes into play from what we see in the video.
I didn't see anything. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I looked at this as much as I could. I actually watched the video, unlike the lawyer who called in 25 minutes ago.
That really bothered you, huh?
Well, you gotta at least see the video. Like, you, for the show, listen, this is a 15.
Yeah,
and I'm like, no, here's the abridged version where you get the stuff that you need. And you watch, like, you did your homework. Like, you just watch it.
So I just Googled harassment definition. And the this is just the English definition. I don't know what the legal definition necessarily would be, but aggressive pressure or intimidation. Did that take place?
No, I don't believe it did. I do not believe it did at all.
And I don't actually think the officer says I had to, what do you say, yell to get him to comply or whatever. I don't even think he really yelled. He repeated the order. He repeats it twice very quickly, which to me isn't even repeating it. Get in the car, get in the car. That's not a repeat. It's one order. Like, the guy didn't have time to comply or ignore it. You repeated it so quickly. And then he says it again. And then he gives secondary orders. Window down, hand on the steering wheel. Like, okay, you're getting back in the car. I'm giving you what else I want you to do next. That's not repeating it. That's a new set of orders, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the word harassment.
Yeah, that's a
is interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just bringing this up sort of as a learning for everybody. You know, it wasn't handled perfectly. Let's move forward from it. I'm not looking to.
But we've seen so
see
much
you
worse.
Lose your, oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm not looking for you to lose your job. I'm not looking for money. I'm looking for to make sure, you know, in future incidents like this, T's are crossed, I's are dotted, and it's taken care of.
That's right? It. Brad in San Diego. What's up, Brad?
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for bringing light to this issue. I really appreciate it.
So wait, hang on one second, Brad. I'm getting a look from my co-host. There's one of the lines here, line three, apparently. This happens. That's not Brad's real voice.
Chipmunk. No,
there's
I know it's not.
There's a thing that happens, and it just happens randomly. I don't know how they fix it. I don't know if you want to put him on hold and try it
yeah,
again.
Let's do that. Let's go to Ralph and Cranston in the meantime. Hey, Ralphie, what's up, buddy?
Guys, I'm not an attorney, but I investigate as an investigator a lot of these cases. Now, if a Landon Roberts or a Landon Roberts type came into our office, and the attorneys are all former trial lawyers in the prosecutor's office, attorney general, district attorney, we'd look at this and we'd say, well, look, you have absolutely no case to sue. You have no case to do anything. Nothing really was done. There's no, and whoever said perfect stop, what is a perfect stop? I mean, you know, if we're stopped by on a highway, and we try to get out of that car, 99 out of 100 cops, unless they know you, is going to tell you, get back in the car, sir.
That's
get
right.
right back in that car.
Right.
Now, the only, he was in his driveway, so that's even, you know, technical or whatever. But the only way that we would ever say, or any lawyer is going to get this and take it anywhere, because they figure, you know what, we'll intimidate, which this happens. It happens in Texas. We will say we're going to sue, or whatever, and they'll pay us just to go away. It happened in Michael Roberts. I mean, is that his name? Michael Brown. I mean, Michael Brown's family was paid $6 million, and that poor cop, if you remember the situation, Brown tried to take the gun out of his holster. I mean, you know, and that to me was sad that they paid them to go away. But if you guys can remember, I know you're old enough, the worst case, and I see a lot of, don't get me wrong, a lot of racial profiling, was the Reuben Hurricane Carter. They made a movie out of it.
Yeah, it was great. Oh, yeah. Denzel. Yep, Denzel was amazing.
Do you know the real story?
No. Well, yeah. I mean, he was wrongfully accused.
He because they stopped him. It was a racial stop. They grabbed these two guys, pulled them out of the car, searched the car. They had no right at that point to do it. That case had to be reversed. But the murder weapon was in Hurricane Carter's car. Absolutely the murder weapon. The co-defendant, passenger, gave a full confession and told them everything and told them how it happened. And they were ID'd. The problem in that, which was buried so much, is that it was a racial stop and they dragged them out of the car. But Reuben Hurricane, there was a song by Bob Dylan, if you remember the
yes,
Hurricane.
Yes, oh, great
he
song.
He told it. Yep. They showed him the transcripts. I got the transcript. They showed him the transcripts that the gun was in that car. They showed him the confession. He would never. You'll never hear that again. Dylan pulled that and said, "You know what? So he actually really did commit the murder, but it was a racial stop. I want no part of it. This is why I see it from both ends. And that definitely racial profiling exists. And I am pro law enforcement, but it does exist. But this one wasn't. There was nothing done wrong I could see legally."
Yeah. All right. Interesting, Ralph. Good point there. We'll continue to take your calls on this, but I want to get to how about this? The Celtics right now. They have an off season. Russell Westbrook is now a Rocket.
Yeah.
And they
and Chris Paul is temporarily
a member of the Thunder.
But
oh boy,
I'm guessing he's not staying there for very long.
Probably
don't buy
not
a jersey.
Long. No, I would definitely not do that. And the NBA, and with everything that's happened so far in the NBA, I like all of you to get your red pens out and grade the Celtics off season so far. We'll get to that. I will get your phone calls 617-779-7937 and why Wiggy might have had the dumbest idea ever. We'll get to that, Mark and Hart on WEI, but now it's time for trending.
This is James and Hart on WEEI.
You know, we will never have a decade like the 90s for music, ever. I'm just saying, like rap, alternative grunge, even the pop stuff that came out with Alanis Morissette. We will never have a better, ever decade than the 90s for music. Seriously.
I kind of liked Alanis Morissette.
No, she was great. That's what I'm saying. No. Like, there was a pop thing that, like, it was, man, that era was, it'll never, never.
It will, though. Don't say never. Every record was made to be broken. Yeah. Everybody's Jerry Callahan will be replaced. There'll be another Jerry. There's another Jordan. Everything cyclical.
Yeah, it's
never say never.
Yeah,
Bill Belichick will never draft a receiver in the first round.
And then he did.
Drafted a receiver in the first round.
He did. He finally did. It's been a long time. Deion Branch, right? Was the last one
second round pick. This is the first Patriots wide receiver drafted in the first round. Belichick.
Okay, so Deion Branch, are you sure he wasn't a
second-round pick out of Louisville?
Yeah, in 2002.
Pro-ready.
Wow. All right. God, I thought that was the last time he did it for...
He was the good one.
Right. Yeah. So, the one thing I will say, yeah, everything changes, and you never, you know, it's just... things regress or progress. It depends on, you know, what you got, but...
The only constant is change.
Yes, this is true. This is damn true. Mark and Hart here with you. 617-779-7937. Wow, that was in the second round, wasn't it?
Yep.
Damn. Daniel Graham first...
You were questioning me. Look at you Googling to make sure I knew what I was talking
well,
about.
Well, yeah.
You could just say... Well, you're the Patriots guy. I'm assuming you're right.
Yeah, he was.
If you tell me something about the University of Miami, I'm not going to Google it. I'm going to assume you know what you're talking about.
He was the last pick of the second round, too.
Oh, I didn't.
Deion Branch.
That. I didn't remember that.
He was 65th. And listen to this. He was picked right at
65th.
65th. That's what it says here. It must have been but it said 65th year because I guess Houston.
Even now there's 32 and 32 is 64. That'd be the first pick of the third round.
Houston got an extra one because they're an expansion team.
See, now that's a little bit of, you would get everybody on a trivia question. Deion Branch was a second round pick. What pick was he? No one would guess 65th.
Right.
You can't have 65.
You're right. I didn't even know that. Yeah. He was
now I'm glad you Googled.
See, he was selected 62, Pittsburgh Steelers selected Antoine Randle L. Dallas selected Antonio Bryant from University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And then the Rams took some dude named Travis Fisher, and then Deion Branch was the final pick of the second round. So Daniel Graham and Deion Branch, those are two. Daniel Graham was okay, not great.
Solid. He was actually a better blocker than a pass catcher.
Right.
Never lived up to, the Mackey Award winner, never lived up athletically in the NFL.
Well, tight ends from Colorado, let's be real.
Yeah, they stink.
Christian Fourier. I mean, you know, come on. I mean,
you got to replace him with like linebackers on the goal line so he can actually catch touchdowns.
Right, exactly. Vrabel, I know.
Did you see the Vrabel thing? We should probably, I think we can air the Vrabel audio. This podcast that's out there where he... declares exactly how focused he is and what he'd be willing to give up to win a Super Bowl as a head coach.
Oh, I heard that. Oh, I heard that.
And it's for men out there, it's quite a bit.
For
and
those,
his wife jokes that she'd be happy to help.
For those of you that are under the age of 28, just Google John Wayne Bobbitt and you'll know what we're talking about. Yeah. You do not want to go there.
Nope.
Now, there's certain things that Super Bowl titles are not more important than, and that's one of them. I'm going to go in that department.
I don't know about you. Obviously, you think immediately sexually, but also like other stuff. How do I go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Like, all the other issues beyond the obvious sexual issues, like,
Like, I could see, like you said, a kidney.
Sure.
You know, that's a lot, but.
I'd be like, Doc, do I need that? How important
can I,
is
can
that
I get
thing?
Away with one kidney?
Half of one?
Yeah.
Did you cut your dick off for a Super Bowl?
Oh. Been married 20 years? Yeah, probably.
Wow.
But yeah, then his wife retweeted it and said she'd be willing to help.
Oh no. They got kids though and all that
that's
stuff.
That's funny and all.
Yeah.
But would make me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. That's anytime you start talking about something in that part of the anatomy, it's very uncomfortable.
And I got
me.
Bad news for him with Marcus Mariota, you're not winning the Super Bowl.
Bad Never. News. Ever.
You need to find another quarterback. Ever. Whether you cut something off or not with Marcus cut Marcus Mariota off your team and you have a chance.
In 1 year from, and I'm surprised it already hasn't happened with the other team who
he was drafted after this guy. Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota will no longer be a Buck or a Titan. They'll be out of Tampa and Tennessee. They'll be gone from those teams.
Neither team. And no. I got to be honest, a couple years ago, I kind of bought into Winston.
Me too.
He was the next big thing.
Me too.
Boy, did I regret that. I did one of those stupid Patriots Football Weekly preseason prediction things, and I had him as like offensive player of the year. I thought the Bucs were going to go to the Super. Boy, do I regret that.
Yeah. You just can never tell. But, and he was at the end of his rookie year. He showed signs in his second year, and then it's like he regresses.
Yep.
Ever since he takes five steps forwards, he takes 18 steps backwards. It's like, and then off the field, groping the female Uber driver. Yep. It's like, dude, you are just, you're your own worst enemy. You can't, and it's just not going to happen. And him and, like, at least Mariota's won a playoff game. Like, he's won a playoff game. Like, Jameis Winston hasn't done anything. There's nothing there. Like, okay, he threw a couple touchdowns to 6'8", guy Mike Evans. Ooh, wow, who can't do that? There's nothing.
Yeah, I could throw to Mike Evans.
Everybody could.
Tell me if you want to eat a W tonight.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Johnny
eating a
Football
W.
Built a career throwing to Mike Evans. Jesus. Just throw it deep and hope, and he came down with
That's
it more often than not.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Evans is like, I mean, just a man-child. So, 617-779-7937. Grade the Celtics offseason. I'm doing it based on Kemba and Kanter. Forget about the draft picks, because we don't know how these guys will be. One of them was picked, I mean, you know, I like Romeo Langford. He was picked 14th. Yep. I don't know how. So I'm just basing it on two guys. Kemba, Kanter, you lose your only two All-Stars. You bring in an All-Star to replace your point guard with a better attitude, could be a better fit and a leader, never won anything in his career. I'm being kind. I give the Celtics offseason a C-.
I was thinking C-, because if you look at it, you know, status quo, stay average.
Yeah.
But then the more you say it, I might go to D+.
That's what I mean.
It's not trending upward. It's
no.
Because you're putting so much stock in this whole chemistry department, addition by subtraction. Talent-wise, you've taken a significant drop-off at two positions, right? It's not just, maybe Kemba is 78% of the talent of Kyrie, and then you get 20% or whatever because of the chemistry and the attitude. And okay, what about Horford? Like, you're not replacing Horford with Kanter, right? Not at all.
No. No.
The versatility,
Kanter's the worst defensive big in the league.
Yeah.
He's literally the worst.
Glenn is all over that. Glenn thinks they are in major trouble mostly because of that. Defensively, they can't play.
As of today, okay, as the Celtics roster is currently constructed, let's say 7-game playoff series. Like, I think Danny's going to make another move, and I'll get to the move that I think he's going to make, and if he does, I'm all for it.
Chris Paul.
No, God.
Just throwing a name out there.
They got Kemba. He's in his prime. What about a washed up point guard who never gets along with his teammates?
I'm like Wiggy. I like big names.
Yeah, exactly. Let him do his State Farm commercials and all that stuff. No. The one thing I'm going to say is that if you're in the 7-game playoff series against Milwaukee or Philadelphia today, like, okay, maybe things change from now until the start of the season. Who's going to guard Horford and Embiid? No one. You don't have anyone to guard Tobias Harris. No one.
What about Taco?
Again, no one. A guy who wasn't even drafted. He'll be on the main roster.
And won't be on the team.
No, he won't be on the team. Who's going to guard? Now, not only the Greek Freak, and of course you had Lopez, they got his brother now too. Who's going to guard those trees up front with Milwaukee? They got no one.
Time Lord.
The Celtics.
You're worse than Glenn. You're more down on the Celtics than Glenn
because
is.
He doesn't know, even though he can block shots, he doesn't know where to be on the court when it comes to defense. Glenn and I agreed on this yesterday.
Year two jump. Belichick's big on it. You're not buying in on that at all?
No, because, you know, if Belichick was the coach of the team, then I wish that I'd be certainly feel a lot better about it.
Coach Brad can't coach him up.
6 years, got nothing to show for it.
Oh, you're down on him, too.
We've
reached the negativity portion
I've 140. I just don't know after 6 years why this guy's not on the hot seat.
Well, because he's a good, not great coach. I've always been critical of him. He ascended in this town in particular, where there was
no expectations.
You had to have a ring.
No expectations.
To be a coach in this town, right? Everybody had a ring.
Yeah.
And
or at least get there.
He ascended to... there were a lot of people that thought he was maybe the second best coach in this town behind Belichick. Maybe the second best coach in the NBA, right? Behind Popovich. And I never really understood that.
I never thought that.
Because
never.
As good as you are, you got to win. It's a bottom line business. It's a production business. And it's great that you go further and your guys try harder night in and night out. And you're the little train that can. I think I can. And you did that for a while. And then you got the talent and you got the expectations and the wheels fell off the train, right? It derailed, went off the tracks. some of that's on you. I also think some of it's on a guy you just mentioned that left, Al Horford. He was supposed to be the leader. He was supposed to be the guy that's holding everything together. And if this locker room was as toxic as everybody says it was, some of that's on Al Horford not being the leader we thought he was.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. And his sound, he did that yesterday. Like, that's the thing that's scary about Kyrie and him. Now, Kyrie, for Kemba, Kemba's not as good of a player, but he could be a better fit. So I'm willing to give that one the benefit of the doubt. Losing Horford was the gut punch that Danny Ainge did not ever see coming. And I don't think Danny was prepared for the situation. And I'm going to tell you right now, Horford was one of the best on pick and rolls. Every time this guy was open on the perimeter, I covered his team and I watched game. It's almost like at times it felt like he was hitting 60% from 3-point range.
Oh, yeah, those always, little set ones. Yeah. He's set and it's like, it's in.
Yeah, and then, oh, by the way, when you face the Sixers, who's the guy who was the tough, who's the Embiid killer, the process killer? Horford. He held Embiid to his lowest field goal percentage in his career, one-on-one, 35%. Now he's his teammate. So now you put Horford on the four, Embiid at the five, Tobias Harris at the three, you got Ben Simmons at the point, and they just acquired Josh Richardson from Miami. Philadelphia, to me, Philly is the team that beat in the East.
I would agree.
I'm buying on that.
Because they have more depth. Yeah, it's Giannis and the rest in Milwaukee. The only thing is, I've always, and this may be a me thing more than it's a them thing, I've never felt that they've overachieved or even achieved in Philly. Feels like they're always not quite as good. I don't think Embiid is as good as he should be. I don't think he's the dominant force that he should be. And, you know, I think his attitude is a little questionable. I think sometimes he gets punched in the mouth and he kind of backs down. Like he kind of, you know, the leaving the court early. Remember when they beat him, was that 2 years ago? And he was just, boom, off the corner of the court. It's like sometimes the situation seems like it's a little too big for him. And he's young. Like, that happens.
But he's been in the league for 6 years.
He has.
You know.
But you evolve as a leader and as a centerpiece and as a winner. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. Because last year, let's be honest, they were a bounce away from beating the eventual NBA champions.
Oh, they should have beaten
Toronto. Or a couple bounces away.
Yeah.
Like bounce.
They should have beaten them.
So the fact that I sort of in my mind that they're underachievers, that they never maximize
their potential,
or live up to their athletic potential, maybe that's a little more of a me thing than a them thing. But they need to prove to me that they're winners. They're champions.
The Celtics need a lot of things. And the one thing I'm hoping on, there's some rumors out there that maybe Danny Ainge will trade Jaylen Brown to Indiana for Miles Turner.
You know who's been pumping up those rumors? Me. I've been on every show. I love Miles Turner.
I do too.
Love
shot
him.
Blocker.
And I like Jaylen Brown. I like Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, but you know what?
But the redundancy on the roster, Miles Turner brings something you
need. You have nobody guarding Embiid or Horford.
Right.
So you got to get, and by the way, the guy who's a pretty decent backup to spell Horford is gone too, Aaron Baines.
Yep.
You'd shipped him off to Phoenix, so he's gone. This is something that really draws my ire. So Gary Washburn, who's one of the best NBA guys in town, writes for the Globe, thought before the playoffs that the Celtics' answer was bringing in Carmelo Anthony. And Mr. Flash, a.k.a. Wiggy, Wiggy wants to bring Carmelo Anthony in as a guy to come off scoring off the bench. He averaged 16 points. This
one.
Well, I'm not.
So what's your answer to Carmelo? Because I have one that you should have.
No, your
shtick.
No, my answer is
Carmel,
this.
No.
My answer is this. Carmelo Anthony is the most overpaid, overrated, overhyped, underachieving check stealer in NBA history.
Wow.
Okay? The guy's a glorified Quentin Richardson. And to tell you how bad he is, in his last 4 years as the guy in New York for the Knicks missed the playoffs every year his last 4 years.
Carmel, no.
No, that's a pretty good one, though.
No, nice it try. Isn't. I'm mocking you, and you don't know I'm mocking you.
In his last full season on a 353 players and player efficiency rating, he was 224th behind Robert Covington and Frank Mason III. This is who Wiggy and Gary Washburn want to bring in. In the clutch for the 2016-2017 season, he ranked 158th in the league behind people like Hollis Thompson and Mike Muscala.
Can I play devil's advocate? Just try to argue for Wiggy. Like, you're never going to ask him to be the clutch guy. Right. If you bring him in, it is a bench role, complimentary piece. Give me some minutes against backups. Score me 10 points in the second unit. Right? You're never going to ask him to be the guy.
They tried to do that in Oklahoma City and Houston. And right. Guess what? Here's what he had to say. Boom.
Hey, P, they said I got to come off the bench.
That's how he thinks about
but see,
it.
That
so it won't work.
Is if he's not willing to be that and you don't think he can be that, then it's the dumbest thing ever. But does anybody, I mean, do the old dog learn new tricks?
No.
Does the leopard change its stripes?
Never. Never.
So, okay, if that's true with him, but
you move on.
I would agree. But, you know, I could see Wiggy's point. It's not a great point, but I'm trying to make it for him.
All right. Well, he certainly didn't do a good job yesterday with me in Ordway. What are your thoughts on the Celtics possibly even considering Carmelo Anthony coming to wear the green? I say hell no to Melo. You might disagree. That's what Sports Talk Radio is all about. 617-779-7937. Grade the Celtics. Red pen. I say C minus. You said C minus.
No, I changed it to D plus.
No, you said C minus originally.
But I had a chance to think about it.
But fair enough. It's there. That's the range you're talking
below
about.
Below average. It's not good.
It's Wiggy's lifetime GPA.
Your parents see it. You lost video games till the next report card.
It's Wiggy's lifetime GPA, D minus, D plus. Okay, fair enough. All right, we'll get to that more, Mark and Hart.
Now back to James and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Wiggy comes to me and he says, I got the solution for the Celtics, certainly for their bench.
Yes, Carmelo Anthony.
You're out of your mind.
Bench scoring. What did we talk about yesterday?
So what you're going to do now is you're bringing in Kemba Walker, who you need to go up there and score 25 a game for you, and then you're going to bring in Carmelo,
a bench player who's playing, you know, 14, 15, 18 minutes a game.
Hey, Glenn, when I say stupid things out of my mouth, a lot of them are intentional. This is, for him, he actually believes it.
Oh, he believes everything
he
says.
He was the same guy. Glenn, he was the same guy who wanted the Patriots to give up two number ones for OBJ.
Which I've talked you into being not the worst thing in the world. Right, Mark James? Mark with a C?
Two number ones for franchise. My only thing is that OBJ needs to understand that you're coming here and that, like, there's the emperor. You need to, you kiss the rings of Brady and Belichick, and you understand that you come in here, you're not the face of the franchise, pal. You're just a nice part of it, and you're coming in the way Randy Moss did in before 07 season, and, like, this is not your team.
That's the plan.
If he came in with that attitude, it's not the worst. But there's a part of me, and even though Cleveland's the most interesting team in the NFL now.
Oh, yeah.
They're very interesting.
Tremendously.
Him and Jarvis Landry team up. Got to see them 2012 versus number one Alabama down at LSU. They were both on the field. They were both in the, like, for L. And I'm like, holy crap.
They're back together.
Zach Mettenberger was a quarterback.
And that's why I fell in love with Zach Mettenberger. And that was an error in my ways. And they got their coach, right? Everybody's putting, whoever the wide receivers coach is, they're putting on the pressure that he's going to keep it together.
Yeah.
You know what the worst thing for the Browns would be, in my opinion, for us, is they're mediocre. They're just kind of run-of-the-mill average. I either want them to go 13-3 and be a Super Bowl contender.
Or 3-13.
Or blow up and they're arguing and Mayfield hates Odell and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Don't be boring. Don't be 8-8.
No. Don't be middle of the road. 617-779-7937. Rich is up next in North Providence. What's up, Rich?
Hey, James. You got Hart?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got Hart.
Got Hart? You know, talking about just Kyrie quickly, I'm going to proceed on. I would have been like, you know what, not during the summer, last summer, but during the regular season when he was, like, playing at, you know, a good level for a period of time, I would have been very tempted or would have tried to pull the trigger, perhaps, to trade him for, like, if Milwaukee could get four of our guys for Tyler Thornburg. I know that's an extreme case, but I would have been like, you know what? I would have myself, I believe, during the regular season, would have unloaded Kyrie for hopefully at least two first-rounders. I would have tried for three first-rounders. And, so that he just doesn't walk out the door like we don't want Mookie Betts to just walk out the door and get nothing for him.
I know, and there's over a year left. He's got one more year left next season. If you're going to get more from Mookie, you can get it now than you will a year from now where he's only going to be a rental.
But the problem was, at the time, you still had hope, right? That the switch was going to get flicked. They were really a title contender, and it was all going to fall into place in the postseason. It didn't, and then it was too late.
I just didn't feel like that with Kyrie. I just felt that he was too much of a toxic player on the team. And I myself, I believe, I would have pulled the trigger and tried to, you know, have gotten the best deal for him instead of just letting him walk out the door.
Okay, Rich, just looking at your subject line, though, you said the Raptors had only one superstar and won. Why can't the Celtics? Can I answer it before you give me your opinion?
No. What I'm just trying to say there is that Toronto did an excellent job of winning with just one superstar. I'm not saying that we have a superstar, obviously, but I'm trying to be optimistic, sort of, I guess, a Celtic greener, whatever, a green team
green
guy.
Teamer, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just trying to remain optimistic so that I would give the Celtics, I know you guys give them a C-, D+. I give because of what happened and all, you know, granted, I don't give high marks as to how Danny at all handled Kyrie in that situation. But as to what the fallout of it all is, I do give Danny probably like a C+, B-.
All right, I think you're overrating. But that's fine. It's your grade. So you give him a C+, B-. Okay, I had C-, and Andy Hart had C-, and he changed it to D+.
Yeah,
just to be even a tougher hard ass.
Hardo Hart.
Mike and Randolph. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey guys, happy Saturday. How you doing?
Hey, he's happy
Super.
To you too.
Hey, so first off, I think the Celtics are going to be better than a lot of people are expecting, and there's no way Danny Ainge is going to go into this season this under man with a big man, whether it's Miles Turner. Look, you could even get creative. Toronto's starting to suck. Maybe you could throw something with Siakam. But here's what I would do, and people are probably going to think I'm crazy, but when I look at Tatum and Brown, I look at Tatum as the typical NBA guy who's going to leave in 2 years, no doubt about it. I think Brown's a guy who can, stay here. I would put Tatum on the trade market 100%. I think you'll get more return.
For who, though, Mike? For who?
Miles Turner, like you just
said. No. So Jaylen Brown for Miles Turner, not right. Tatum. Tatum's the future of the franchise.
No, he's not. He's going to be gone in 2 years. I guarantee you.
Yeah, but you don't know that, Mike. You don't know that.
Well, you know what? Honestly, the way the NBA is now, Mark, you have to play. You have to
you're
play
right.
Percentages of who you're you think right. are going to stay. Right. And I think you have a better chance of retaining Jaylen Brown than you do with Jason Tatum. I really believe that.
But why?
Now, because Tatum, he was boys with Kyrie. Like, he plays on Team USA. They all talk. It's the same stuff of, all right, well, we're going to reunite in New York. I would be surprised if Tatum ends up with the Knicks in 2 years. Like, I can see that. I don't trust Jason Tatum.
And by the way, Mike, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just say we don't know. He, as of now, loves being here in Boston. Yeah, I mean, the new
so
NBA.
Did Kyrie.
Exactly.
If you'll have me.
Right. Oh, hey, I'm going to resign here in Boston if you'll have me. And then, the Nike commercial. I wear number 11, so hopefully one day no one else will be able to. It's like, oh, gee, well.
No one's wearing it now because they hate.
The 76ers, right? That's everyone's sexy pick in the East, right?
Sure.
I look at it like this. Take the Celtics out of the equation. If you are a team and you want to get over the hump, would you take a 33-year-old aging Al Horford who's breaking down and Josh Richardson, or would you take J.J. Redick, who is a sniper from outside, and Jimmy Butler?
I know. And they, they got caught worse.
Mark, let me ask you this. How many teams has Tobias Harris played for in the last 5 years? I'm going to answer for you. 6. You think all 5 of those teams just passed up on him? This is going to be the biggest bust in the NBA, Tobias Harris. I think this Sixers team is going to implode. I want to see Horford hurt. I want to see Embiid hurt. I want to see.
Let's not go there.
Why
let's
are
not
we rooting for injuries?
Yeah. Let's not wishing for
I'd
injuries.
I'd rather beat them.
Yeah, I don't want them hurt. Let's not. I will say this. They spent close to $300 million on Al Horford and Tobias Harris.
Yeah, they will regret that at some point.
Oh, my God. They will.
Point.
Now, for the short term, the Celtics are hurting without Horford. I got to tell you, I didn't want to give him $109 million for the next 4 years.
No.
I didn't want to do it. I just didn't want to do it. All right. Hart and I want to get to this coming up next, which is a great thing. So, Andy Hart's the only person in the world who doesn't like the musical chairs that is the NBA free agency offseason. Yep.
I'm not into instant gratification.
But
I like the long haul.
Now that players in the NFL, with the CBA being up in 2 years, are starting to see what's going on in the NBA, they want to take that player empowerment era that's going on in the association right now and bring it to the Shield. Would that be better for the NFL or worse? We'll get to that. 617-779-7937. 3 hours down, one to go for Mark and Hart.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.